Gosh, girl, you're super talented and anointed. Every time you lead worship, I'm like, dang, girl, you got the stuff. Oh, who's having fun? Yeah. It's like I'm only motivated by fun, so this is fun. Like, this is why I'm here today, because it's fun. So I got out of bed because it was a fun. All right. This next speaker that we have today, her name is Kennedy Sammons. You guys know her. She put on this event for us today, this lovely event, and now she's preaching at it. Like, come on. Like, this is a lot. Like, and so I just have a couple things to say about her. First of all, she's super sweet, but she's super fiery for Jesus, right? She's so faithful. She's so passionate. Kennedy actually works in the school system. My boys, my middle school boys, see her often. She teaches kids about substance abuse in schools. That's her job. And she uses that to glorify Jesus, which is awesome. And Kennedy, like, the thing I love about you the most is that you just go for it. Like you face your fears and you're like, yeah, I'm just going to plow right through that. Like, like any barrier that is set before you, Kennedy's going to break that barrier. And it just, I love seeing you grow, and I love seeing you preach. I love seeing you doing the things like this, and I just know God has a great and bright future for you. So I'm just going to pray for you, if that's okay, and then we'll see God release the word. So God, we just thank you for my sister, Miss Kennedy. God, we thank you for her life. God, we thank you for her legacy that she already has. God, we thank you for the fruit from her life. We pray for this specific message, Jesus, that it would just go forth and it would pierce our hearts, God, that we would receive it well, God. Position our hearts to hear what you have to say. And God, whatever it is, God, I pray that we'd be able to face our fears and be overcomers in every area of our life. And just bless Kennedy and protect her from all harm in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Kennedy Sammons.
So if you want to open up your Bible to John 21, I'll get there in a minute. So I'm probably going to travail through this message.
1 minute, Kennedy, I got you.
I sat on this concept for, I don't know, a month or so. And I knew what it was about when Autumn asked me to give the message, but it just wasn't coming out. And Monday, I kind of woke up and I felt this thing stirring in me. And I was like on the brink of tears all morning. And I was like, I'm going to write it today. Like, it's coming out. And I knew that there was two things the Lord was doing in my heart. Number one, faith that he's always going to provide an exhortation when it's needed. And number two, there was like a level of understanding through experience in order for me to release this message. Like, I need, if I'm going to talk about this, I need, it needs to come from a place of, I've been there. I am there, right? Because there's a personal grace that we carry when we've walked through something, when we've overcome something, and we impart it into the room. And so by faith, this grace on my life, this grace through this message is going to be imparted for you. So, John 21, this is where Jesus is appearing to his disciples, and they're preparing fish for their breakfast. And starting in verse 15, I'm just going to read verse 15 through 19. It says, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus, to Simon Peter, says, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend to my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said this the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you carry you where you do not want to go. And after saying, he said this, follow me. So Jesus says three times, do you love me? And when we look at that word love, the first two times Jesus said it, I looked at it in the Greek, and this is agape love that Jesus is, thank you. This is agape love that Jesus is talking about. So agape love involves action. It's not just the feeling. It involves action. So essentially what Jesus is asking here is, Peter, do you love me enough to lay down your life for me? But the way Peter responds each time is with filial love. This love is affection, separate of action. So the third time Jesus asked Peter, he asked in filial love. Because Peter just denied Jesus, and Peter couldn't understand agape love because there was something in the way. And I'll get to that in a second. So then we see how Jesus is kind of telling Peter, like, when you were young versus what's going to happen when you're older. So when he says, truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. Jesus was saying, you failed before in the strength of affectionate love, but there's coming a day when you will face your greatest fear and be victorious. I believe just like Peter, maybe this day has come. Maybe this is today. But Jesus is going to ask us all the same thing. Do you love me enough to lay down your life? Peter wasn't capable of loving Jesus because fear was in the way. He was intimidated by a servant girl and feared death, which led to him to deny Jesus. He did the very thing that he said he would never do because of fear. We will never be capable of fulfilling the call on our lives. We will never be capable. We will be limited in our love for Jesus based out of fear. If we're fearing man, if we're comparing ourselves, if we're fear to take the next step, whatever fear it is, fear will stop you in your tracks. But Jesus responded the third time with filial love because he knew that Peter wasn't capable of this. He meets us right where we are. It might not have seemed like it earlier when I opened up with this message in fear. There's two sides of me. I'm either super intense and fiery, or I'm tender. I was at the biggest Peter, do you love me moment. You know, just since I was a little girl, I've always just been super independent. Most of it was by choice, but some of it was being hurt by man. Not that I didn't love Jesus, guys, because I love Jesus with all my heart. Right? But my biggest fear was letting go of control of my life. Because when I did that, people stomped me to the ground. It felt like I was being disappointed. And so it was hard for me, you know, to truly do this. And I'm just a planner. Like, I've been planning my wedding since I was, like, 3 years old. It's all planned out. So I have all these plans that I've been dreaming of since I was a little girl. And sometimes Jesus doesn't give us our plans because his are better. And that scared me. So I will say that I love Jesus with all my heart, but one of my biggest fears was letting go of the reins. I didn't realize the second. I'll just kind of give a backstory here so you kind of get some things. Okay. I am not going on script. I'm totally off. But it's fine. So I said that I was, like, super independent. I grew up with both sides of the family. There's divorce. I grew up around broken relationships. I endured a toxic relationship of mental and emotional abuse for 4.5 years myself. So my idea of love is very distorted from the very beginning, okay? And sometimes, like, when we go through things, sometimes it distorts, like, our things that happen in the flesh. Sometimes, like, we have an offense of God based on those things, and that's kind of where I feel like my heart was. Like, I didn't understand the concept of love. It was weird for me, and it was so scary, that concept. And all the relationship stuff and just seeing the brokenness, it further established a deep-rooted independence in me that, I mean, honestly, guys, I told myself that I would never need any man, ever. It just was deep-rooted. I didn't need anybody else because everyone disappointed me. I got engaged back in August. And let me tell you, this is this is the most miraculous God story, fairy tale. It's so God. And this man is truly a blessing to my life. Quick background story. Right before I got engaged, God told me to write a list of everything I wanted in a future husband, and I got everything I asked for. And sometimes, like, when we go through things, like, we're like, we think we know what it's supposed to look like. Like, I thought I was supposed to be healed from my past. I thought I had to look a certain way before God would even bring me my future husband. But Peter thought he knew what it looked like, right? He said, Jesus, I would never deny you. But what did he do? He denied him. I wasn't healed when God brought me my husband. I thought I knew what it looked like. But I've been denying Jesus because I've been running from the very thing that God would use to bring on the healing that I was praying for. Sometimes the very thing that we're afraid of is the very thing that's going to help us overcome. You know what I mean? Like, for me to experience agape love of Jesus, do you guys get what I'm saying here? Like, agape love, to lay down your life for Jesus no matter what it looks like. That's deep. And God gave me the most godly man to test how much I love Jesus. He said, how much you love this man will determine how much you love me. And that freaked me out. To let someone into my life again. I'm getting delivered up here. You know, marriage is, if you're not in a marriage, family. Family, marriage is one of the biggest avenues of becoming more Christ-like. Like, the constant need for grace, the constant need for forgiveness, respect, unconditional love. Those are great avenues to become more like Christ. I'm watching, you know, I had my expectation of what it was supposed to look like. I needed to be this perfect Proverbs 31 woman before God brought me my future husband. And I'm broken when he brings him to me. And I ran from it because I thought I needed to be perfect. And I was scared because it freaked me out that I had to be vulnerable to someone, that they would see my scars. I believe perfected love is always being perfected in us. Choosing every day to lay down our lives as we continue to face the very circumstances that are meant to strengthen us, right? We're not promised a life free of trials. It's trial after trial after trial. But guess what? We come out victorious every single time because of Jesus. Those are meant to strengthen us. So the love, agape love, is strengthened every single time. So don't let fear get in the way. Until Peter faced that fear, he couldn't love Jesus in agape love. And he wasn't able to answer the command, follow me. Do you know how big that command is? Follow me. Follow me, even if you've been stuck in drug addiction. Follow me and trust me. Oh, that's a big command. Follow me, even if it means martyrdom. Follow me, no matter what. You know, maybe your situation doesn't look like mine. I assume it doesn't. But I know each and every one of you probably has had some fear of what it looks like. Maybe it's on your identity. I don't know. So if you want to title this message, make it personal. Michelle, Melissa, there's a Michelle in here too. Do you love me? Do you love me enough to lay down your life for me? Even if that means whatever. Kennedy, do you love me enough to trust me that I... like to let your heart, give your heart to your future husband, give your heart to me and trust me that it'll never happen again. That I'll love you. Like, can you trust me with your heart? Can you do that? Your spiritual gifts will be dormant if you're intimidated by fear. Okay, I have some time, so I'm going to tell you the real story of this miraculous story, and on a good note, because I'm tired of crying. All right, so I was little, praying. I always, like, dreamt of this fairy tale, and I'm going to speak to all the single ladies here and give you hope, because I... So, you know, we all, like, if that's a desire in your heart, it's a desire in your heart. Like, you want to be married. And I dreamt of it. I used to dress up as a bride all the time. Like, when I played dress up, I was either a princess or I was a bride. So it kind of gives you a little hint into my personality. So either a princess or a bride. And I would make my grandma sing Here Comes the Bride, and I'd be like, okay, I'm walking down the aisle one more time. And she would do it again. So I always dreamt of it. And then I found Jesus, and that's my fairy tale. But then there was also, he was like, I know, I'm going to fulfill that desire too. For after this relationship that I mentioned, it was about 2 years. Well, okay, so I'll start here. I met Noah, my future husband, last winter. Kind of knew that he liked me, but I shut it down so quickly. But everyone was like, Noah, I really think... My mom even had a dream. So my mom had a dream. I shut it down. And God kind of told me, he's like, okay, and I'm going to give you a man, but instead of praying for a man, start praying for the man. So I started praying, and I wrote a journal for a year. This past August, but I'll rewind to July, God started speaking to me and giving me these little signs along the way. And it's all about a key. I got a key right before Noah visited last winter. Remember when I said that? Three keys. Three keys. The first one was like someone collected keys and they sent it to me in the mail and it had a Cupid angel on it. It had my name and the number 25. The second one was, these next two are like literally within 3 days of each other. The second one, someone like wrote something on Facebook. They drew a picture of a key and it said, don't be afraid to take the key. Someone commented my name and they said, take it. And I was like praying to the Lord. I'm like, what is this key? The third one, 3 days later, one of my ladies at work, she gave me this door. And she said, on it, she's like, I don't want this anymore. It said, prayer is the key and faith unlocks the door. There was another key, like, drawn on the door. This same day that I got this key, my mother told me, you know Noah's in town? She said my face lit up, but so I'm praying now because I'm like, all right, what's going on? Within a week, I left for a training and came back and I knew he was my husband. Like, I just knew. Guys, we didn't date. There was no dating. There was no first date. None of that. And we go out, he takes us out to the lake, and we go kayaking, and everyone left us. So it was just me and Noah, and I'm like, this is a little fishy. We get out on this point, and he goes, so about this date? And I said, I'm just waiting for you to ask me. And he said, okay, I'm asking, but I didn't want to put you in a long-distance relationship. He's at this point, currently stationed in Germany in the Air Force. And I said, do you think I'm your wife? And he said, yes. Do you think I'm your husband? And I said, yes. And he said, okay, we're getting married. And that's the story. 3 days later, he got down on one knee and yeah, I got to pick out my own ring. Super miraculous story. We've been through the fire, but you know what? I opened up my heart. So don't let fear get in the way. Because God can use that exact fear for you to be victorious.
That was awesome, Kennedy. Aw, little Noah Apple. Get married to this gorgeous woman that loves Jesus. I knew Noah since he was young, and so that guy's blessed man. God set him up.
So it's just been miraculous since from that point. In this journal that I mentioned, I had wrote, like, you know, the triangle where you're like, the closer you get to God, the closer you get to each other. And so it's always been like, God told me that like marriage takes three. The day we went kayaking and we decided we were getting married, my mom goes, I found these three hearts and they're rocks. And there's two heart rocks and the one is bigger. And she goes, I had this like this thought that marriage takes three and there's three heart rocks. And I wrote that in my journal. So it's just been, yeah.
So cute. Aw. Kennedy, let's give her a round of applause again. I wrote a few notes here about her message, and they're just really powerful, just some takeaways. Like, number one, when we'll limit our calling if we give in to fear, right? Yeah, that's really powerful. Good point. And the second point I got out of it is we are not promised a life without trials, right? But we can be victorious because of Jesus, so no matter what trial we face. So, and Kennedy, that story seems kind of weird, right? Like, she's getting married now, but she's not, like, shotgunning. She's very wise to have, like, a 2-year engagement. It's going to be a long time. But they know each other really well now, so just want to put that in there. She's very mature in Jesus. So this next speaker is Autumn Mann, And I'm very excited about it. I've known Autumn since I was a wee little girl, 15 years old. Her husband led me to Jesus. It was this radical conversion. I was into the punk rock scene, and I hated life and really depressed, hated people. And then Jeff led me to Jesus, got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and different person, completely different trajectory of my life. I really love the Mann family and just appreciate them so much. Autumn has always been fiery, always been passionate, always loved Jesus in every single season. And like now, like I love her so much, I moved across the street from her. That's how much you love your friends as you move across the street from them. It's like a childhood dream come true. Our kids are besties. We literally come to each other's house very often. It's great. Or just wave at each other through the window. So anyways, let me pray for you. Jesus, I just thank you for my sister, Autumn. We thank you for Pastor Autumn's life. We thank you for the legacy that she has. We thank you for who she is. God, I thank you for this message. I know this message really well. And I just thank you for this. I pray that this message, God, would just produce so much fruit in our lives, God. And God, I pray that for every person called to go right now, they would go in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Winter. It's true. We led Winter to the Lord, and then Jeff and I were also her husband's youth pastors in Missouri. And Chad came up here to help me out with some children's stuff, and they met, and many years and much trial. They also had a wedding. Favorite son meets favorite daughter. They get married. Woohoo! And then they minister with us. That is a dream come true if you are a pastor. Spiritual sons and daughters marrying each other in the church and staying. They don't leave, they stay. Oh, it's beautiful. It's so fun. Oh, I'm really honored, so honored to be doing a little session here. It's going to be a little different than maybe any of the other sessions. I actually just want to take a moment to share with you what I feel like is a prophetic glance into the season we're living in, okay? So it's just a little bit different. Sometimes we microscopically look in at like this, like fear. It's so good. Like, let's look at this. Let's look at that. We're going to go up with the Lord and say, what are you doing in the earth in this season? And then how can I cooperate with you? That's what we're going to kind of, one little part of what he's doing. Hello, I got 20 minutes and I only know a little bit, right? God knows it all. But there's something, there's things stirring. Do you feel a shift? 2020 was a shift, and a lot of great things are happening, a lot of chaos is happening, and we're probably never going to go back to what it was like in the good old 2018. Remember, that was a good year for me, 2018. Really was. I don't think we're ever going back. We're going to go forward. And there's some things that have been set into motion on the earth that feel a little scary, a little chaotic. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But let me tell you, God has a plan, though. He is moving this thing forward through the chaos. He even using the chaos. How many of you fell on your face in 2020 in a new way? I never led in my life through something like 2020. People are saying, if you meet in church, someone's going to die and it'll be all your fault. And someone else says, if you don't meet in church, you're forsaking the assembling of the saints together and you don't even love Jesus or have faith. I'm like, you could not win. You better get on your face and get the word of the Lord in 2020. Guess what? I think God wanted it to be that way. Wow, what a storm to put us on our face before the Lord. Not saying he authored the sickness or, we don't have to get into all that. I'm just saying the Lord is speaking through this season. There's a rumbling in the earth. The Lord, I'm going to say, I feel like the Lord's moving us towards something I often refer to as the third great awakening. Many of you may know that in our nation's history, we've had several great spiritual awakenings. It was a first great awakening when we were just 13 colonies. Literally, this spiritual awakening shifted the entire spiritual atmosphere of the 13 colonies at that time. It wasn't small. It wasn't like just a couple good meetings. We're talking about societal transformation on a regional level. And then just when we needed it, when our nation was coming upon the brink of being ripped apart by the civil war that was going to come, the Lord sent a second great awakening. Ever heard of Charles Finney? Yeah. He was one of the faces the Lord used, the evangelist the Lord used in the second great awakening. Again, the circuit riders rose up in the second great awakening out of the wild Methodist movement. Those Methodists have a wild history in God. I don't know where they're at right now, but they have a history in the Lord. And the circuit riders rode up. They literally, they just take their horse and ride into the frontier to preach the gospel into the frontier lands. And societal transformation happened again, an awakening spiritually, not just in a couple hearts or someone on the second pew, but we're talking about across the board, something shifted nationally through an awakening. So this is what I feel like the Lord's given me, a couple like pictures. You know, he's such an artist and he loves to talk through parables, right? That's how Jesus talked. He taught us. He likes to give us a picture of something that's happening. And the Lord gave me a couple pictures, and I'm just going to go through real quick because I think there's three pictures of what's happening right now, and I think maybe one of them will just stick in your spirit. So I'll share all three with you. What's happening in the earth right now is like a musical crescendo. How many of you play an instrument of some kind or you sing? A crescendo is when, you know, like let's say it's an orchestra is being led, and at first it's just a few instruments playing softly, and then in come the flute, and then here comes here comes the violin, and here comes the oboe, and all of a sudden it's like growing, it's growing in intensity, it grows in loudness until literally the climax of the entire piece of music is the crescendo, when all things come together into this loud, bold moment. The Lord is building a crescendo in the earth. Amen. That's exactly right. It's like he's doing things across the globe. We are one little pin. I think the internet should humble us. Go look at like Google Maps. You think your world is big. It's not. You are one little dot in a state of South Dakota, which, if you get high enough, is just a dot on a region, on a nation, which is really just on a huge... we are just one little thing that's happening. We are one piece of a huge crescendo that the Lord is building in the earth because he's about to ready to release something at the height. What the Lord... And we're going to talk about what he's going to release in a second. Another picture the Lord gave me is... what he's doing in the earth is like a volcano. Volcanoes erupt because pressure is building. Pressure's not going away. It's not going away. But God's people are going to learn to lean on him in the pressure. We're going to have more peace under more pressure as we become refined in the fire. That's good news, though. How many of you want to have more peace when you're under pressure? Yeah, me too. So a volcano, it's like everything that's happening at first can't be seen. Isn't that true? Like there's like Mount St. Helens was like this huge volcano that erupted maybe in the 80s. Mount St. Helens looked like this peaceful, beautiful, you just could drive by. It looked like a gorgeous mountain. It was fully wooded. It was just lovely. Nobody knew what was happening under the surface. Pressure, magma, forcing its way up because the magma is hot. It wants to rise, right? And so it's forcing its way up. And then you start feeling the rumbles. Before a volcano goes off, you start seeing the signs. Puffs, right, of gas. Rumbles. Little quakes. Oh, there's activity. And then one day, there's an eruption. What the Lord is doing in the earth is like he is working among his people. Putting all this pressure underneath as he's raising something up. And I'm telling you, it's going to erupt and it's going to end in the return of Jesus. we're not that far. If we're 50 years, we're so close. How many of you are 50? Just yesterday, you were a baby. What the Lord is doing in the earth, it's also like a woman giving birth. In the hiddenness, in the darkness of the womb, a baby is conceived. Nothing looks different on the outside. It's like God working in his church is like the baby growing in the womb, preparing his people. I'm going to give birth to something. There's a volcano that's going to go off. There's a crescendo that's about ready to happen. There's a baby about ready to give birth. And you know what? At first, it's only the woman that knows. You can say, no, I'm pregnant. And everyone looks at your stomach. It's like, I'm just taking your word for it. But then as that baby grows, right, you get the baby bump. Some of you get baby pregnant all over. More than a bump. You're just pregnant from head to toe. You just look like pregnant. Some of us look like whales. Other of us look like pregnant little cute Barbie dolls. Just don't all look the same, do we? It's okay. Anyways, you know, the baby's growing though, right? It's growing. And pretty soon, the reality of what's happening on the inside becomes evident on the outside. And I tell you what God has been doing in his church for the last few decades on the inside of us is beginning to look, is beginning to be evident on the outside. He's building something. He's building something. He's building a prayer movement. He's building a praying people. He's building a missions movement. He's building a going people, neighborhoods and nations. He's doing something on the inside. The baby's developing until what is this moment when all of a sudden the greatest pressure any woman could ever feel in the face of the earth happens. The baby's coming. Here comes the baby. The Lord is giving birth in the earth to a third great awakening. It's not going to be business as usual. I just think we're over it. Part of me, I'll be 100% honest, is scared that we're not going to go back to 2018 because I liked it a lot. It was a great year. It's not going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen. So we just have to say, no, Lord, you're moving us forward, even through the scary seasons, even through more wars to come, major food shortages. There's food shortages now happening in the earth where there wasn't a food shortage for 20 years, and there's food shortages. They're going to come here. Do you know how much grain that we get from Ukraine and Russia? I mean, we just do the math. You know what? God's doing something beyond that, though. He is using all of the attacks of the enemy, the darkness of evil, the glory of the Lord. He uses all of it together to birth an awakening in the heart of people so they cry out and say, I just want Jesus. The only thing that never changes. The only kingdom that can never be shaken. The only king who can never be toppled. He has the only government that could never be overthrown. Jesus, Jesus. And so as things intensify on the earth, we need to know this is leading to something. Because sometimes we're really focused on our own life, right? We don't like being uncomfortable. I hated 2020. That was like ridiculous. I'm like, it was ridiculous. I hated that. I hated all the ridiculousness about it. And the danger and the loss and all of it. I hated that. However, we have to know, like, whatever we're walking through now and in the future, the Lord is doing something in the midst of his people to birth a nationwide, worldwide, global awakening to him, which will bring in the largest harvest the earth has ever seen, which will precede the return of the Lord. We don't need a fresh word on it. We have the word on it from the Bible. Can we make sure the air conditioner's on? If it's turned on to off or heat, put it on cool. Kennedy knows how to do it. Thank you, friend. So a number of years ago, I had a dream. I'll share this dream because it's what I feel like it really depicts what the Lord is bringing forth right now. I had this dream. Actually, what happened is I woke up. My alarm went off in the morning in real life, not in the dream. And I hit snooze. My snooze is like 7 minutes long, I believe. And I hit snooze, and I was instantly in an experience with the Lord. Instantly. I don't know if you want to call it a dream or not. It was instant, and it was total reality is what it felt like. I was driving a little four-wheeler. You guys know those little four-wheelers? Open little four-wheeler on the side of a highway. And I was on the shoulder. I was maxing the thing out as, you know, 20 miles per hour probably, going as fast as I could. But it means 20 miles an hour, right, on the side of a highway. But I just felt like it was like speaking to my personal ministry, being fairly small, but I'm giving it all I got. I'm using everything Jesus has given me, and that's all he asks of me. So I'm going along. I'm utilizing everything, all the power he's given me in that four-wheeler. And I look up, and coming straight at me is a wall of water, a tidal wave, literally on the prairie. It literally stretches from one horizon to the other horizon, a wall of water barreling towards me. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And I whip my little four-wheeler around to try to get away from it. I whip it around, and I am like really wishing it went faster at that point. And I'm going as fast as I can in the opposite direction. And then I look up, and I see a second wall of water coming straight towards me from the other direction. It literally reaches from horizon to horizon. It is barreling towards me. I am in the middle, and I think, this may be God, but I think I'm going to die. That is truly what I said in the dream. Vision, trance experience thing. This might be God, but I think I'm going to die. And these two powerful waves of God's Spirit collided together on top of me. I am being tossed and turned and rolling in the water. And pretty soon I realize I'm not dead. Very aware. I'm not dead. I'm still not dead. Instead, I never saw this movie, but I did see an advertisement. It was like I was in the Matrix. I could see like molecules of water flying past me as I'm like tossed and turned. And all of a sudden I realized I'm not dying. I'm not drowning. I all of a sudden realized I am now flying through this water. And I am flying like Superman. I'm not on a four-wheeler bound by 20 miles an hour. I'm like going 200 miles per hour. I fly out of this water. I am back on that highway, flying on the highway, going 200 miles per hour. And I see two angels standing on the side of the road. And as I fly past them, I hear them say, "The name of the Lord is being revived in the land." Yeah. Let me tell you, there are two great waves of God's Spirit that he has been raising up on the earth for decades that are coming together in this hour. One is the prayer movement. Ladies, get a prayer life. One is the prayer movement. And the other is the missions movement. We are all called to go. Neighborhoods, nations. If you're a born-again believer, you are privileged with the commissioned, privileged and commissioned by the Lord to be a bold witness to everywhere he sends you, neighborhoods, nations, wherever he sends you. But these two great, amazing movements of the Lord are coming together in this hour. And actually, a lot has happened in the natural in the last decade where literally prayer movements like International House of Prayer in Kansas City, and huge, like the largest missions movement in the world, YWAM, have actually come together, literally. And they said, "How we got to work. We got to mix prayer with missions. We got to bring some missions with prayer. Let's start houses of prayer on the mission fields." And the houses of prayer, I use that term. We have one here at the church, prayer meetings. The prayer meeting is beginning to be the seedbed for missionaries to begin to grow up in the Lord and to be sent into the uttermost parts of the earth and to their neighbors. Just, you know, if you can't witness to your neighbor, don't go to Africa. It doesn't get easier in a different location. Just face the fear today. God's with you. Put a good sermon on face and fear. So when the prayer movement and the missions movement comes together, there is acceleration across the board for every believer. And you saw it in the dream. No longer, it's a season, guys. It's just when the Lord sovereignly says, season's changing, season's changing. Some of you might have lived through the Jesus movement in the 60s and 70s. Some of you might have been saved in the Jesus movement. I have heard ministers talk about the move of God. The Jesus movement was a sovereign move of the Lord that really hit a generation that was completely lost. I mean, we're bad off. But you know, in the 60s and 70s, it wasn't great, guys. The hippie movement was dark. It was free love, communal living. It was terrible drug use, fried people's brains. Some of them never recovered. In the midst of that, Jesus started reaching hippies. Sovereignly. Answering the prayers of a million mothers on their face, crying out for their sons and daughters to return to their senses. And Jesus enters into America in the 60s and 70s. There's another Jesus movement coming. It just is. If you have a problem with any sector of people who are lost in the U.S., you need to get over it. He's going to start saving them, bringing them to the church, and setting them right next to you. I mean, and praise God, I want them. The alphabet people, we want them. Trans, lesbian, pan, whatever, you know, I can't even keep up with all the alphabet, whatever. We want them. Jesus loves them. Free yourself from the prejudice. Jesus loves them. He's got transformation coming for them. This is the hour we are in, though. This is the hour where he is building together something. He is bringing together the missions movement, the prayer movement. He says it's a season of acceleration. We want to be positioned to go. We want to be doing whatever God's called you to do to the max. If you're on a little four-wheeler, on the side of the road, in your little house ministry or your little Bible study, praise God, do it with all your heart. And watch out when acceleration comes. Because you might not be able to fit them in your house anymore. Praise the Lord. Your three ladies in your living room might turn into 30. If God sovereignly just says, now's the season, harvest. Let me share one more dream. Oh, my time. Oh, it's so sad. I'll just finish this dream and then we're going to pray. So I have one more dream. In 2017 was fantastic. In the fall, I was part of Awaken the Dawn. They put 50 tents on the National Mall. All 50 states showed up and just worshiped the Lord right in our nation's capital in tents. During the Feast of Tabernacles, we tabernacled with the Lord in our nation's capital, just worshiping him and giving him an offering. It was amazing. It was amazing. And we were there, and it was what I didn't know. I led the South Dakota tent. It was a ton of work. It was a ton of reward, ton of work. But the Lord had a divine appointment for me on the mall in 2017. And on the last day, he said to me, I want you to birth a missions movement in 2018 in South Dakota. I know enough to know all I got to do is obey Jesus and keep praying, and that thing will get birthed. And I may not even know, oh, was it birthed? And then, you know what? The baby shows up like 3 years later, 5 years later. You're like, oh, look what came out of 2018. So we came back, and the Lord just kept on saying, I am birthing a missions movement. And when I say missions movement, you all are a part of it. Neighborhoods and nations. Neighborhoods and nations. Just Ask the Lord where you're supposed to be. If it's your neighborhood, great. If it's a nation, great. Neighborhoods and nations were all part of this. So when I came back, the Lord gave me this dream. I was looking at a great bridge that was the Lord's, and it was called God's Golden Gate. The Lord said, "This is my Golden Gate." It looked a lot like the Golden Gate Bridge. And it was like there was almost like a marathon. You know when you see those videos of like people running across the bridges, like lots of people walking and coming? That's what it felt like. Like there was this great coming across the bridge from one side to God's side. And everyone coming across that bridge, and people were just flowing across the bridge. Thousands and thousands of people, all with one thing in common. They had a yes in their heart to the Great Commission. God's people had said yes. God's people had said yes. That was simple as that. They had said yes! And with joy, they were coming across God's Golden Gate, he said. And I was so ecstatic that at one point I was among the people and I was like running, you know, like kind of jumping like around them and running with my hands up. And I was praising God. You called, they answered. You called, they answered. You called, they answered. They're saying yes. Every single person coming across that bridge was saying yes to one thing, the Great Commission. To be his witness to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And they'd all said yes. And there was such a joy. And when they would come across that bridge, then they would choose a path, either this super humble wood bridge back to their homeland to be a missionary in their backyard, or they'd board a ship to a faraway land. But everyone was going where God told him to go. It was no longer optional. He had put a yes in the heart of his people. This dream has motivated me for 4 years to cry out, God, just put a yes in the heart of your people. Put a yes in the heart of your people. You know, God doesn't really care if you have a lot of gifts. He's so gifted. He's gifted enough for both of you. And he doesn't really even care if you don't feel powerful or anointed. He is anointed enough for both of you. He has enough power to share with you if you feel powerlessness. The one thing God wants from you is your heartfelt yes. I want in. I don't want to try to escape the coming trouble. I want in on what God's doing. There's two ways you're going to be able to look at this next coming season. Gals, deal with your fear. Because as things intensify, you can either try to escape, which is really going to, it's, you know, when we escape, what do? We get on our phones, we start shopping, what do we do to escape? We numb ourselves with just more like activity, frenzied activity. We're either going to try to escape or else we're going to face it. And we're going to say, this is the greatest hour that's ever been on the earth. And every great hero of the faith went through a trial. Take me, Lord. I'm ready. I say, yes. I want to be part of this great crescendo that's going to bring in the return of the Lord. I'm going to be part of this great birthing of a new age, so to speak, where, Lord, the greatest harvest the earth has ever seen is coming prior to the Lord's return. This is where we're at. Let's stand up. I so wish I would have had another 20 minutes because I just have so much more. Oh, praise the Lord. But God's so good. So good. He's so good. I just want us to respond in two ways. Like right now, like sometimes we feel the emotion of like, I want that so bad. I want a greater yes. And that can be scary and exciting, right? Just put the fear aside and go for it. a year ago, last January, in the beginning of 2020, I was like, God, I know I don't have a big enough yes. I was literally saying that I know. I'm trying to surrender and feeling this sense like I don't even know how unsurrendered I am. And, you know, that's the grace of God when you're like, I know. I'm actually, I'm living like 75% for you. But I'm trying to live 100. And I said, God, I got to go all the way. I know I have to in order to, like, I want to move with you in this next season. And the Lord answered my prayer, and he put me straight into the fire of infirmity, fire of trials. And I came out of that trial broken and, like, thought I'd never be the same, honestly. Thought God probably couldn't use me ever again, honestly. That's why I just thought broken. And the Lord said, nope, now you just got a really deep yes. And then the Lord started bringing Muslim nations to us. And for the first time in my life, I could say, I will go there. I don't want to go Muslim. I just don't want to do it. Send someone else to the Muslim nations. I'll do Buddhist. I'm too much for the Muslims. I don't even know how to act. I preach and they don't even want you to talk. They want you to cover your head. You know, I mean, all the stuff that's going through my head. Like, I'm not the right person for Muslim nations, Lord. But I tell you what, you say yes. The Lord knows how to get you from A to B. You're like, Lord, I say yes no matter what it means, and if it seems scary. And he knows how to take you on a journey so that your yes, like Peter's, it goes deep, right? It goes through a trial, like Kennedy was talking about, to a place where it's deep yes that means something. Let's just lift our hands to the Lord right now. Lord, we love you. We love you. If you want, I should say, if you're really wanting to respond with a yes, lift your hands. There's no pressure. We know we're all in a different journey and timing. But Lord, those that are raising their hands right now, we're saying, God, we are weak, we're broken, but we're